The book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 15. I really enjoyed that great song, I'm Gonna Make It. Somebody said to Barry Lakin one time, said, Dr. Lakin, hope to see you in heaven. He said, the hope is on your end. I'm going. My old daddy, who passed away in November 2008, old-fashioned leather lung, hacking, spitting Baptist preacher from the hills of Virginia, used to say, young'uns, I'm as good for heaven if it was already there. Amen. And I'm glad to be back at Fort Worth, Texas. I like Texas. And I love Worth Baptist Church. And I love this dear pastor, Brother Weaver. I'll tell you, he's just a fine fella. And I try not to be jealous of my brothers in Christ. But I look at that beautiful head of hair and I think, oh, God. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. I don't mind getting older. I don't mind getting wrinkled. I don't even mind getting a little pudgy. And someone said, Brother Joe, that vest is out of style. Man, that ain't no vest. That's a pot holder. But I'll tell you, I miss my hair. Miss my hair. I've heard all these jokes about, you know, bald is beautiful. I've never seen a beautiful bald-headed man. In fact, I've never seen a beautiful man of any kind. Say amen right there. But I am so glad to be here tonight. I love Preacher Gaddis. What a great message. And I just appreciate his Bible preaching, and he's a wonderful brother. And good to be among friends. Good to be with Andrew Johnson. My secretary last night was giving her numbers. And I said, oh, not that number. That's Andrew Johnson. She said, who? I said, Andrew Johnson. She said, I thought he died. No, I said, I talked to him this morning. Amen. Good to see Brother Tyler over here. And as the kids were singing, I was wondering which one was his. I think I picked him out. I really did. And I love all you folks. And it's so good to be here. In the foyer, I have something new since I've been here. I did a singing CD. In memory of my daddy and Brother Billy Kelly. And I've got 10 old-time camp meeting songs here and an extra instrumental. I'll tell my friends every hour, every day, when the sun sets over Jordan, too much to gain to lose. And I got some good backup here with David Chamberlain and from Faith Music. And on the front is a picture with me and my guitar. By the way, it is a Gibson. And you do not have to tune it every time. Only the cheap guitars you have to tune every time. The young cheap guitars you have to tune every time. And I was telling them, them old ones that's been seasoned, they'll hold her down, son. And I praise God for that. So stop by the table tonight and pick up one of these CDs. And as they say on the radio, if you'll plant a seed of faith in our ministry tonight, great blessings will come your way. Great blessings will come your way tonight. Well, it worked for Jimmy Swaggart. I thought I'd try it. Praise God. Oh, my. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you don't know your right from your left, say praise the Lord. That's Texas A&M fans here. I just heard you. Praise God. The Lord is good. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Amen. Turn to that person sitting beside of you and say, I'm happy. Turn back around and say, if you're not, you can be. Praise the Lord. I love you, Pastor. Thank you so much for allowing me to come. And he told me I could preach till 11 o'clock. This is going to be great, man, I tell you. God is good. I told you about that fellow in the mountains of North Carolina. He preached one Sunday morning for 4 hours. 4 hours. He preached on all the prophets. He preached on the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament prophets, the tribulation prophets, the millennium prophets, the false prophets. 4.5 hours. And after 4.5 hours, he said, oh my, I forgot about Isaiah. What am I going to do with him? An old man stood up in the back and said, bless God, he can have my seat. I'm going home. All right. The book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 15. And we'll begin reading in verse number 22. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and say this phrase out loud with me, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, say this with me, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured. Now I have a hard time believing anybody would do that. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I love verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord. I'm glad business picks up when we get to a place of desperation and we cry unto the Lord. And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, say this with me out loud, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. Now stop right there. This verse does not teach that if you're in the will of God, you won't ever get sick. There are no verses in the Bible that even teach such as that. He's referring to the plagues that he wrought on the Egyptians. And he said, the judgment I put on them, I am not going to put on you. And you study Israel, all the bad things that happened to them. They never had a bed full of frogs and a head full of lice. God saved them from that judgment. And I'm glad tonight the only fire I'll ever feel is the fire of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that's burning in my soul. He said, I'm not going to judge you like I did the Egyptians. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. I love this phrase, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where thou wert sent with me, 12 wells of water, and 70, which is 70 palm trees. And there, the Bible said, they encamped there by the waters. In verse number 22 tonight, we have a phrase that says, no water. In verse number 23 tonight, we have a phrase that says, bitter water. In verse number 25, there's a phrase that says, sweet water. And in verse number 27, there is what I call wells of water, or an abundance of water. No water, bitter water, sweet water, an abundance of water. And someone may ask tonight, how does God take a group of people from no water to bitter water to sweet water to an abundance of water? Well, between the no and the abundant is a little tree that God revealed. And that little tree that God revealed made the difference. Because of the miracle working power of that tree. They were brought from no water to bitter water to sweet water to an abundance of waters. How does God bring a soul from no life, bitter life, to sweet life, to an abundant life? Because between our abundance and our absence, there is a little tree that makes a difference. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And I'm glad the power of that tree on Calvary's hill makes the difference for you and I in this place tonight. But come to our text, and God's people have been delivered. They've been redeemed. They've been emancipated. Egypt has been left behind. But just because they are delivered and redeemed and emancipated does not mean they're not going to have to go through the wilderness. As our dear sister sang a while ago, I'm going to make it. and they are going to make it. God has promised them, I'm not going to bring you out to let you flounder around. I brought you out that I might bring you in. He said, I'm going to bring you out of the Egyptian bondage, and I'm going to bring you to a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm not bringing you out just to have something to do. I've got something in mind. But going to the promised land, they could not bypass, go around. They had to go through the wilderness. A wilderness speaks of a place of need. A wilderness speaks of a place of danger. A wilderness speaks of a place of trouble and trial. And may I say to all of us tonight, the pathway to God's promised land goes through some places of need and trouble and trial. But I'm glad they found in their wilderness what we will find in our wilderness. I'm glad in their wilderness they found the provisions of God. I'm glad in their wilderness they found the promises of God. I'm glad in their wilderness they found the presence of God. In their wilderness, they found the power of God. And yet, even in their wilderness, they found the pardon of God. You know what they found in their wilderness? That standing somewhere in the shadows, there was a God who never left them nor forsook them. And just because we're saved and delivered and emancipated from our past, the chains of sin has been broken. We have been delivered by the miracle power of God's blood-bought salvation. But that does not exempt us from the storms, from the troubles, from the trials, and the test of life. We too must travel through the wilderness. But I'm glad in our wilderness we'll find the provisions of God. In our wilderness we'll find the promises of God. In our wilderness, we'll find the presence of God. I'm glad our geographical location does not diminish God's divine ability to meet our need. It may be a mountain, it may be a sea, it may be a valley, it may be a battlefield, it may be a wilderness, but we have a promise of our God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We'll come to our text tonight, and they're in a wilderness. I call it a wilderness of disappointment. You say, Pastor, why do you call it a wilderness of disappointment? Well, notice where the text is located. Genesis 15. Exodus 15. You realize what happens in the first 20 verses? They have sang the song of the Lord. The first 10 verses of Exodus 15 records the first song in the Bible. You know why? Because as long as they were enslaved in Egypt, there was nothing to sing about. But brother, when they got out of Egypt, God put a song in their mouth. I mean, they're on the other side of the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. They got their tambourines and the guitars and the fiddles and their orchestras and the pianos, and they are having a hallelujah spell on the other side of the sunny banks of sweet deliverance, because, man, they're not in Egypt anymore. Someone said, I went to church the other day and sat down beside this fella. He just kept saying amen and praising God. What was his problem? He was saved. Well, what was he so happy about? He was saved. He's just glad he's not a sinner on his way to hell anymore. Man, they're having a great time. Can you imagine the euphoria? Can you imagine the excitement that's in the camp? Hey, we're redeemed. We're forgiven. God just buried and destroyed our past. Man, this is great. But yet our text says 3 days, just 3 short days, they found themselves in a place of no water. Can you imagine as the smile turns to a frown? Can you imagine as the glory turns to gloom? Can you imagine as the excitement turns into defeat? It's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to turn out this way. This is not the way it is supposed to be. God didn't tell us about a place of disappointment. And a lot of times on the pilgrim journey, there are places of disappointment. You say, Brother Arthur, I've never been disappointed. Really? Really? Well, you've never been married. You said, I've never been disappointed. Really? You've never raised teenagers. A child can go to bed at 12 years old, perfectly normal, and wake up 13 and drink 10 gallons of stupid. You know I'm telling it right. You say, Brother Arthur, I'm here tonight and I've never been disappointed. You've never pastored a Baptist church. I just love to hear the hot shots talk about, I'll tell you right now, I put our people above me. Oh, you better be quiet. You better stop right there. You know what kind of members you got in your church? The same kind I got in mine. Them that need tuning. And they're pastored by a man like you and I that needs tuning. You say, well, I've never been disappointed. Then you've never attempted anything. You've never got out of the house. You've never got off the front porch. Life is filled with disappointment. My marriage is not supposed to be this way. My children's lives are not supposed to be this way. My job is not supposed to be this way. My retirement's not supposed to be this way. My church is not supposed to be this way. Let me tell you, sometime on the journeys of life, we go through the wilderness of disappointment. But before it gets better in the text, it gets worse. Finally, the Bible said they came to a place where there was some water. Can't you hear the excitement? Can't you see the euphoria? Build in the air. Man, the sun is glistening off of these little pools of water in a whole plain that looks like it's filled with water. And I can hear the cry as it goes through the camp. Water ahead, water ahead, water ahead. Man, this is great. We finally got some relief. We finally got some reprieve. We finally get some water. Then the first person kneels on their knees and gets a handful of that water, and as soon as it touches their lips, I hear it reverberate through the camp. We can't drink it. We can't drink it because it's bitter. That word bitter used in your King James Bible means more than water with a bad taste. It literally means poisonous. You drink it, it'll make you sick. You drink enough of it, it'll kill you. I hear it as it goes through the camp. Bitter water, bitter water, bitter water, bitter water. For life has not only taken them to a disappointing place, now life has brought them to a bitter place. And you listen to Brother Joe Arthur tonight. If you live in this world long enough and serve God long enough and try to do something for God long enough, you'll have a place in your life when you'll have to drink out of the bitter waters of disappointment. Bitterness. Brother, it's bitter when you've given your life to a job and you walk in one day and they say, here's your watch, get out of here. We don't need you anymore. It's bitter when you come home and your wife says, I'm not in love with you anymore. It's bitter when you come in and your husband says, I'm trading you for 220s. Most men can't handle 110, much less 220s. Can I get a witness? It's bitter. Your daughter comes in and falls in your arms and says, Daddy, I'm pregnant and I'm not married. That's bitter. Or your son or your daughter comes in and says, I'm choosing the homosexual lifestyle. Man, that's bitter. You give your life to a church and they vote you out on Pastor Appreciation Day. That's bitter. That's bitter. You go to the doctor and the doctor uses the C word and boy, I hate it. Cancer. I've buried my friends and buried my family and buried my preacher brother with the word cancer. Man, it'll be heaven. It'll be heaven, Pastor Weaver. It'll be heaven just to get rid of the C word. And it's bitter. Oh, it's bitter. Life is sometimes bitter. We drink out of the bitter waters of disappointment. But I've preached all night to get to this. I'm glad the sun doesn't set in the wilderness of disappointment. I'm glad the sun doesn't set in the wilderness of bitterness. I'm glad God steps out on the scene and He takes the bitter and makes it better. He takes the sour and makes it sweet. He takes the poison and makes it pure. He takes the contaminated and makes it clean. Oh, weeping endures for a night. But before we leave the text, joy comes in the morning. Because there was a little tree that God revealed to Moses. And that little tree had the power to take the bitter and make it better. Aren't you glad there's a God that walks with us in our wilderness, and He has the power to take the bitter and make it better, and the sour and make it sweet, and the pollution and make it pure. You don't have to die in the bitterness you're in tonight. There is a way that God can take the bitter and make it sweet. Oh, I forgot to give you the title of my message. I'm preaching tonight on, oh, how sweet it is. And I'm glad life is not all disappointing. It's not all bitter. But there is a God tonight that can take the bitter and make it better. You say, Brother Joe, what could be so powerful or significant about this little tree? I mean, what could be so great about a little tree that could take sour things and make them sweet? Well, I'm glad you asked. You ready? Number one, it is a revealed tree. The Bible said in our text tonight, and the Lord showed him a tree. That tree was there all the time, but God had to reveal it. That tree just didn't spring up overnight. That tree was planted by God when He created the heavens and the earth. Man, can you imagine that day when God's a scooping out oceans and heaping up mountains and tracing down rivers and planting grass and flowers and trees? And He plants one right there. And can you imagine when the cherubims or the seraphim saying, Father, why are you putting a tree right there? He said, because I can see farther than you can. And down the road, I'm going to have some chosen people. And they're going to have a need they can't provide. They're going to have an ocean they can't swim. They're going to have a problem they can't solve. And they're going to need a remedy. And I'll have one when they need it. Man, they go to that bitter waters. Man, they don't know what to do. And God opens Moses' eyes and said, Son, I knew you'd get here before you knew you'd get here. And I have a remedy. Right there is a tree. Brother, they would have died drinking poisonous water had not God opened their eyes and revealed unto them a tree. You say, Brother Arthur, what has that got to do with us? Man, I'm glad you asked. Did you know before you was ever a pleasant thought in the womb of your mother, Jesus went to Calvary and died for our sins? And the whole time you were lost, Jesus died and died for your sin, and you didn't know it. The whole time you're enjoying, you think, the life of a sinner. Jesus had paid your debt and you didn't know it. The whole time you're living like a heathen and dying like a heathen, Jesus could have saved you. Jesus would have saved you, but you just didn't know it. But praise God for that hour when somebody sang a song or somebody passed out a tract or a man of God preached the gospel and the Spirit of God roused your heart, convicted your soul, and pointed you to the cross and pointed you to Jesus. And the only reason why all of us tonight aren't already dead and in hell was for that God. God opened our eyes and let us see the cross. At the cross, up the cross where I first saw the light, God showed him a tree. Thank God for that day when God opened your blinded eyes and let you see the cross. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, they talked him down, they let him down, they put him down, they beat him down, and they knocked him down. But they made a mistake. They lifted him up. Ever since they lifted him up, the magnetism of the cross, he's been drawing sinners. I feel like preaching right there, glory. I've got rope down in my nose. Holler hallelujah right here. Hallelujah right here. They'd have died from drinking the bitter waters of Marah, but God showed him a tree. You'd still be lost tonight, on your way to hell tonight, without God. But God opened your eyes and revealed Christ, and you saw the cross. Hallelujah. It was a revealed tree. Number two, I love this tree, and listen to this. It was a single tree. Notice the Bible said, and the Lord showed him a tree. Not two trees, not 12 trees, not 70 trees. God showed him a tree. You say, Brother Arthur, you believe it was the only tree on earth at that time? No, it was a whole bunch of trees. But it was the only one that had the power to take the bitter and make it better. And kind of remind you that day when Jesus died on Calvary's brow, that wasn't the only cross up there. But it was the only one that could pay the debt. Amen. In fact, that particular day when Jesus died on Calvary, there were three trees. There were three crosses. There was a cross on the left where that old thief cursed and swore and blasphemed God seconds before he died. And he drew his last breath and he went straight to hell. And he is still there this very moment. There was a cross on the right side, where an old repentant thief said, Lord, I believe who you say you are, and I believe you're going somewhere, and when you go, I want to go with you. And Jesus didn't say, well, that's wonderful. We'll work out one Sunday. We can baptize you, and we'll see what we can do. He said, no, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think the old rugged cross makes the difference, one second this old thief is a half a heartbeat from hell, and the next second he's strolling down Glory Hallelujah Boulevard, Main Street Paradise. But can I remind you, salvation's not on the right cross. Salvation's not on the left cross. Oh, the cross on the left is the rejection of salvation. The cross on the right is the results of salvation. Oh, but the cross in the middle is the root and the reason and the redemption. My God, that's a good sermon right there. Salvation's not on the right side, it's not on the left side, but it's on that middle cross where the Son of God died for the sons of men, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. It's on that middle cross where he cried, it is finished. On that middle cross, his heel was bruised, but the devil got his head bruised forever and forever. It was a single tree. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, there are not two doors, there are not five doors, there are not seven doors. There is one way, one truth, one life, one Lord, one faith, one shepherd, one resurrection, one door, one God, one Savior, and Jesus is his name. It's a single tree. Number three, I love this. It is a miracle tree. You say, Brother Joe, what's so miraculous about it? Well, notice where it's growing. It's growing. Now, over in Georgia, we got a term called smack dab. Boy, aren't you glad you come from a part of the world where you know what smack dab means. If we have any Yankees that have slipped in among us, that means right over there. But notice where... I learned stuff like that from Brother Jason. My soul. Hey! But right over there, look where it's growing. Pastor Weaver, it is growing right smack dab. Right smack dab beside bitter water. You know what grows around poisonous water? Nothing. And if it does grow, it's poisonous too. But right here in the middle of smack dab poison comes a little root out of dry ground. And it's a little old tree right in the midst of pollution, right in the midst of bitterness. But it's not polluted and it's not bitter. It is a miracle. You say, what has that got to do with us? Man, I'm glad you asked. when Jesus Christ was conceived and born from the womb of a virgin, and he was laid in a manger. He came in a world full of sin and rebellion and hideous ungodliness, but I'm glad in him there was no sin. There is no sin. He's the pure, impeccable, sinless Son of God. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. What a miracle. When my wife was expecting our children, you think I'm nervous now? I was really nervous then. You see, I'm not of the new generation, of the old generation. You see, you old timers, when your wife had the baby, you got to sit out in the waiting room and pass out cigars. Not my generation. We have to go back there. And if you ever been back there, you'll know you've been back there, because you ain't never been nowhere like back there. I'll tell you, when I come out from back there, I had a greater love for my mama and a greater appreciation for my wife. I did like most men. They ain't lived with a woman expecting a child for 9 months. And she can walk in sweating profusely, breathing hard, her belly swollen out. And she says, "It's time." And he goes, "Time for what?" And I'll tell you, the greatest waste of $40 is them stupid breathing classes. That is a waste of money. Man, I learned and I practiced and I went in there with her. And I said, "Now," she said, "You shut your stinking mouth." I said, "You make up your mind. You want me back?" She says, "You better." And that's another thing, all you old timers that married them real quiet, submissive women, pray for the rest of us. Come on now. Man, I wanted to, I got every book I could find, read every book I could find on how children were conceived and grew and how they were born. And man, I found out something. That cord that's attached to that mother, to that child, vitamins, nutrients, strength passes through that cord, but not one drop of blood passes from that mother to that child through that cord. There is marrow in the bone marrow. There is DNA in the bone marrow that manufactures its own blood. That comes from the male side of the conception. That's why when a woman gets married, she drops her last name, takes on the name of her husband, because her children literally have her husband's blood pulsating through their veins. And by the way, moms, that's not really bad, because the next time your kid does something real dumb, you look at him and say, "They're yours, buddy." Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of that virgin. He had a cord attached to him and attached to Mary like other cords. And through that cord, he got strength and vitamins and nutrients. But not one drop of blood passed from Mary to Jesus through that cord. You say, "Where did his blood come from?" Amen. Holy DNA in the bone marrow. That's why the Bible could say, "Take heed that you feed the flock of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood." Can I remind you tonight, the blood that pulsated through the body of Jesus Christ was not the blood of a Roman soldier. It was not the blood of Brother Joseph. It was the sinless, immaculate, pure blood of the eternal God of heaven. Precious blood, powerful blood, eternal blood, pure blood, the only blood that can set a man free. Miracle, a miracle, a miracle tree. Something else about that tree, I love this. It was an afflicted tree. Before that tree could take the sour and make it sweet, before that tree could take the bitter and make it better, it had to be wounded, pierced, afflicted. It had to be cut down out of the land of the living. I'm sure it was a beautiful tree. I'm sure it was a miraculous tree. But the tree in itself could have no effect until it suffered the affliction and was cut down out of the land of the living. May I say to you tonight, Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. Jesus Christ was and is the virgin-born Son of God. Jesus Christ was and is the miracle-working Son of God. Jesus Christ was and is the great teacher of God. But I'm telling you, all of that in itself did not have the power to take my bitter and make it sweet. But I'm glad 2,000 years ago, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. And can I remind you tonight that salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs God everything to save your soul and mine. I see Moses. I see Brother Moses as he approaches that tree. I see Moses as he takes his place at the foot of the tree. Time out, news flash. You know when God will take your bitter and make it better? When you take your place at the foot of the tree. And aren't you glad tonight the ground is level at the foot of the tree? Moses takes his place at the foot of the tree. Moses takes a sword, his machete, or some type of cutting instrument. And the Bible said he begins to cut and cast. Boy, I see Moses as he afflicts the side of that tree. As Moses began to wound and pierce the side of that tree. And the deeper the sword goes, and the deeper the affliction goes, and then about that time he gets the sap vein, that life-giving sap, and out of that bloody side of that sap, that tree begins to bleed its life-giving flow. And as that tree is cut and pierced and wounded and falls in the bitter waters, that's when God takes the bitter and makes it sweet. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus Christ went to that cross and they pierced his brow and they pierced his hands and they pierced his feet and they pierced his side and they said, what a tragedy. But what they did not know, God was opening a fountain for sin and uncleanness. Hallelujah for the cross where he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. And he cast that tree, I love this, and he cast it into the bitter waters. He cast it into the bitter waters. You say, where did he cast? He went to the head of the problem. You'll get that after a while. He went to the head of the problem. You know why the water is bitter in this stream? You know why the water is bitter in that stream? Because where it comes out at the fountainhead, it's bitter. So he puts that sappy tree, he puts that afflicted tree, he puts that wounded tree in the head of the problem. Can I tell you, at the cross, Jesus Christ dealt with the head of the problem. A friend of mine was in a revival in a church. And every night they'd give an invitation. And every night a lady would come and say, oh God, clean the spider webs out of my life. Clean the spider webs out of my life. That may be good on Monday night, but by Friday night, the preacher got down beside her and said, God, don't worry about them spider webs. Kill the stinking spider. And at Calvary, Jesus Christ did not deal with symptoms. He dealt with the head of the problem. That brings me to my next point. What's so great about this tree? It was a substitutional tree. You know how the bitter was made better? Watch this. This tree that was afflicted and wounded, listen to this, was submerged into the bitter waters. That sappy, afflicted tree was merged, placed into, baptized into, immersed into the bitter waters. And here's linen of what happened. As that bitter water is gushing up out of that ground into that fountainhead, that bleeding sappy tree is submerged into that water. And as that water comes, and glory goes right there, and as that old bitter water hit that old sappy tree, the sappy tree took out the bitterness, assimilated the bitterness, pulled out the poison, took it into itself. And the reason why the water's pure, because there's somebody taking out the pure and putting it in himself. Oh, aren't you glad 2,000 years ago Jesus Christ became what we were so we might become what he is? And he took our sin off of us and put it on himself. And can I remind you tonight, it was not his sin that he died for, but it was your sins and my sins. He took it off of us and laid him on himself and bled on it and died on it and took it away at the old rugged cross. Substitutional tree. You remember the Bible said John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, was out by the river of Jordan baptizing. And the Bible said they came to John confessing their sins. Can you imagine Brother Andrew, John standing there, and these men get in line, and now don't confess your sins, sons, because ain't no telling what we'd hear out of it. But they come up to Jesus and they confess their sins. And boy, all these guys getting, and boy, we really don't want to know what they've been doing, but anyway, these guys get in line, and boy, they start confessing their sins. He baptizes, he confesses his sins. He confesses his sins. He confesses his sins. He confesses his sins. Watch this now. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ stands in that line. And he walks up to John. And John said, he ain't got no sins to confess. Woo! And John looks at them other men that had just confessed their sins to him. You know what he said? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen, boys. Y'all done good, you bunch of sinners. Hey, aren't you glad tonight? Aren't you glad tonight? There is one that can take away your sin. He can take away your sin. He can take away your sin. Let me say this tonight in closing. It was a powerful tree. It was a powerful tree. You say, Brother Joe, when was the bitter made better? Right smack dab. Johnny on the spot. As soon as the tree touched the waters, whammo, bammo, right there. You spell right, R-I-T-E. Right there. The bitter was made better. You say, Brother Joe, when did God save my soul? The very millisecond you sided with God against yourself. A friend of mine was in Michigan a while back, and this man got up to preach a Bible conference, and he said, I'm lost. I know I'm lost. The church I pastor knows I'm lost. And they are praying that one day God would lead me into the paths of salvation. I can help him. I can help him. I can take him to Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in 30 days shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in 45 days shall be saved. No, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When? When you call, he will answer. He will not turn you down. He will not turn you away. He'll fix you up right there, the waters. Powerful. It was made sweet. I got one more. It was a healing tree. Because God stepped out of the shadows and said, oh, by the way, let me give you one of my special names. You remember when Abraham and Isaac was going up one side and the ram was coming up on the other side and they met at the top of the hill. I called it Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord that will provide. He said, let me tell you one of my names. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Heal what? A bitter and a disappointment. Pointing wilderness. Because the Bible said after they drank of the sweet waters that it gave them enough strength to go to verse number 27 And it's not the plains of Marah, it's the plains of Elam, where there's 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. You say, preacher, my address tonight is 666 Marah Boulevard. Go to that tree and get under the shadow of the tree, and God will change your address to 777 Elam Street. Because God can take us from no to bitter to sweet to abundance. Because He's God, and He's right for what is wrong in our life. You help me out tonight, I can see it. As those hundreds of thousands of Jews are in the camp and they come to the waters, and the first people that get to the waters taste them and they're bitter. And the message goes all the way through the camp. He turns around and says, it's bitter. Turn around and say, it's bitter. Turn around and say, it's bitter. It's bitter. Turn around and say, it's bitter. And it's bitter. And it's bitter. And all the way in the back, where all the sinners sit, I'm sorry, and it's bitter. Boy, can't you hear it going through the camp? It's bitter. It's bitter. It's bitter. I believe this side learns quicker than this side. And it's bitter. And it's bitter. And it's bitter. And this side tells this side, it's bitter. And it goes through the camp. It's bitter. And it's bitter. And it's bitter. And it's bitter. I'm used to preaching in Alabama, but Texas is usually a little bit sharper. And bitter, and bitter, and bitter. And the next thing, the whole town, the whole village, it's bitter, it's bitter, it's bitter, it's bitter. It's nothing but bitter. And then the tree does a transaction. Boy, the first person goes up there to get him a drink. I can see little Junior as he goes to get a drink. And Mama says, hey, Junior, don't do that. It's poison. Dad says, go on, Mama, let that boy get him a drink. It's different now. What do you mean it's different now? Oh, it's different now. What's different about it? Everything looks the same to me, Mama. It may look the same to you, but way down yonder on the inside, it's different now. Let him drink. It's different now. What's the difference? Mama, you see that little tree? The little trees made the difference. Boy, Junior gets him a drink, says, whoo, it's sweet. It's sweet. And you can hear it as it revives. Yeah. Yeah, boy. And this side tells this side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sweet. And this side tells this side. And it's sweet. And it's sweet. It's sweet. And now the whole camp hears the message. We can drink it now. We can drink it now. It's not disappointing. It's not bitter, because the little tree took the poison and made it pure, took the contaminated and made it clean, and took the bitter and made it better, and took the sour and made it sweet. You say, Brother Joe, what's that got to do with us? There is a message reverberating through society today. No hope, no hope, no hope, no hope, no hope, no hope. But Lord, have mercy, if somebody will get under the influence of the sappy tree, let God take your sour and make it sweet. Oh, there'll be a message going through society. It's sweet, it's sweet, it's sweet. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I'll tell you what we'll do on this side. We'll give you all the word. Hallelujah. You ready? Hallelujah. As it goes over here. Jesus saves for y'all. Jesus. Jesus saves for y'all. Well, glory for you guys. Well, glory. Oh, here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And this side over there. Woo! Hey, they done good, didn't it? I'm telling you, the old rugged cross makes a difference. A little tree on a little hill made the difference for you and I. I don't know what you're battling tonight. I don't know where your wilderness is. I don't know what's disappointed you. And I don't know what's made your life bitter. But for a few minutes, I've tried to point you to one named Jesus who can take your bitter and make it better. The old songwriter said it like this: I will praise Him forever and ever for the cross made the difference for me, and the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever for the cross made the difference for me. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Our Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the good measure of preaching liberty You've allowed us to have tonight. Thank You, Lord, for this pulpit and this man of God who labors faithfully. Thank You for our dear man of God that preached about how the will of God, if we need to be in tune, spoke to my heart. Lord, I know how we get tuned up tonight. We get ourselves under the shadow of that little tree to look to the cross and claim the cross. You can help us tonight to walk in unity and harmony for the glory of God. Lord, there may be one of Your redeemed, emancipated, forgiven, born-again children in this room tonight. But lives took a disappointing turn. They've had to drink some bitter stuff. Lord, our own family in the last 3 or 4 months has had to walk through this dark wilderness of disappointment and had to drink some bitter stuff. But I'm glad, Lord, not only we can preach it, but we can live it. There is a God in the shadows that can take the bitter and make it better. Speak to hearts all over this auditorium tonight. And we give You glory because we ask it in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake, amen. Pastor, You come. Take charge of the service, my brother. Thank You.
Let's stand, please. You know what?